Hey, it's me, Lars Larson. Thanks for checking out my podcast, and be sure to tell a friend about the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's First Amendment Friday, live on the Radio Northwest Network, spanning the region all the way from Spokane out to Everett. We go from Bellingham in the north all the way down to, all the way down to Ashland and all the liberals in the enclave of Ashland down south and Medford and KMED. From Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Glad to get your phone calls and emails. A couple of stories I wanted to mention to you. The Oregon Supreme Court yesterday decided that if you are a drunk driver and you run from the cops, even if you get across the border, across the state border, that does not get you out of the drunk driving charge. You see, there was a guy who thought he could get past the drunk driving charge. Apparently, he's drunk enough that he came up to the back bumper of a state police car in Washington State. He was following the trooper right behind him and then finally passed him. Well, the trooper said the guy was going 25 over the speed limit, and he was intoxicated. So he chased him across the river into Oregon and then charged him. And the guy thought he could beat the charge by saying, "You don't have the authority to arrest me for DUI in Oregon." Well, it turns out the Oregon Supreme Court says yes. As a matter of fact, he does. Second question, and here I have to give a little credit to the state government of Washington, because normally I don't give a lot of credit to government because they could screw up anything. I mean, the very fact that they may be shutting down all the state parks for the 4th of July weekend because the legislature can't come up with a budget says it all. But the state of Washington is now asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn a decision that exempted the Yakima Nation from paying state taxes on fuel delivered to the reservation. The tribes got the right to buy gas without paying the taxes on it, and then they get a chance to sell it. Well, now the state of Washington is saying, no, we don't think that's right. Here's what happened. A company called the Cougar Den, a gas station on the Yakima Reservation owned by a tribal member, in March, Washington Supreme Court says the 1855 treaty, now I think that was before gasoline and automobiles, but whatever, said that the government exempts it from state taxes for commercial activities off the reservation. The tribe is a sovereign government and is exempt from state sales tax, cigarettes, and gasoline taxes on the reservation. This guy thought he should be exempt from the taxes. Now the state of Washington is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn that one, and I couldn't agree with them more. Listen, if you're in the United States of America and all those reservations are sovereign nations within the United States of America, you need to pay your fair share of taxes. Anyway, 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com. And then there was this story. There are a number of business owners who are getting some press right now because since Donald Trump decided to sensibly get America out of the Paris Climate Accord, a number of cities and counties have said, oh, we're going to have our own Paris Agreement. We're going to do global warming protection locally. We're going to cut back on carbon dioxide and all this stuff. And they always make these promises, as Todd Myers yesterday from the Washington Policy Center points out. Portland and Seattle and Eugene have been making promises like this for literally decades, and they know they can say 10 years from now we'll cut back CO2, and they know nobody is going to go back and check 10 years later to see whether or not they actually fulfilled that promise or not. Well, now the private sector is getting into the game. Now get this. The story says the Oregon Business Alliance for Climate is made up of multiple business owners who have come together to create a climate policy. They formed an alliance to curb what they say is the negative impact that climate change is having on Oregon industry. The group is led by Tom Kelly of the Neil Kelly Building Company. They're stepping up to force a tax on carbon emissions. Now, let me tell you something. I got no bone to pick with the Neil Kelly Company. I've never used them for a project. I don't have any reason to like or dislike them. They've just been a business in my local area. But shame on Tom Kelly, and let me tell you why. I always tell you if I have a dog in the fight. If we talk guns, I say I own guns. I carry a gun. If we talk about the Marines, I say I had a son who was in the Marines. I got a soft spot for the Marines. My mom and dad were in the Navy. I got a soft spot for the Navy. I tell you when I've got a dog in the fight. I think Tom Kelly has a major dog in the fight, and it's his wallet. And let me tell you why. Here's what happens. Contractors make money based on how big the project is that they're doing. So if a contractor comes and does a $10,000 remodel on your house, they make a certain amount of money. If they do a $50,000 remodel, they make more money because it's a bigger project. If they push a carbon tax that punishes people for using energy, and that would include electric, gas, you know, gasoline, diesel, and all that, they've got a financial incentive to be in favor of making you pay more taxes on energy. Why? Because if your energy prices are pushed up, it costs more to heat your home, then you have an incentive to go out and hire a company like the Neil Kelly Company to remodel your home. In fact, you've got an incentive to have them do a very expensive remodel. Get the triple pane windows, get the extra insulation, do all the green building methods, because the Neil Kelly Company will make more money. In other words, these guys, and this is why I say shame on Tom Kelly or any other business that jumps into this, they say, oh, we're saving the environment, we're against carbon. Hogwash. What they're in favor of is making more money. So when one of these companies says, let's make everybody pay more for the energy that heats their home, it's an incentive for you to go out and get your home weatherized, to get better windows installed, more insulation, and that sort of thing. And those companies make money on it. And here's what Kelly says. The carbon tax is going to have a big impact on carbon emissions and our climate. And unless we get that under control, we're already seeing impacts in Oregon agriculture in all kinds of ways, a negative impact on our economy, and business needs certainty. Well, what negative impact on the agriculture economy? We have a hotter summer this year. We had a cooler summer last year. That's called weather. If it changes permanently over a long span of time, you can call that climate at some point. But if you listen to the climate scientists I've been on, put on this program, they'll tell you that actually we had a later snow meltout than we have in other previous years. And when folks say, well, we've had the hottest years on record. No, the hottest years on record are still in the 1930s and the late 1800s, not right now. But you see, they're counting on us not going back and checking to see whether or not that's true. He says climate change affects the quality of his product. He says, yeah, it does, because it means more of his customers will be incentivized to buy the higher insulation windows that cost more money and make more money for his company. I think if Neil Kelly and folks like this, or Tom Kelly, are going to go out and run a little game like this, they should at least be honest about the financial dog in the fight that they have. 866, hey Lars. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com. Our quick poll today, which is brought to you by Dan Jones Conveyor Trucks. Whether it's rock, gravel, sand, or topsoil, let the Dan Jones trucks put it where you want it and save your aching back. My question today, is actor Johnny Depp's assassination comment a threat against the life of Donald Trump? And I would say yes to that question. I think that's exactly what it was. Now, do I think he should be thrown in prison? No, probably not. But I think there should at least be both those on the left and those on the right willing to say it's not right that prominent celebrities are out talking openly about the assassination of our president. And it does, I think, start to inspire some of the attacks we've seen, like the attack on Congressman Steve Scalise last week in Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C. In fact, Fox News is running a brand new report right now that says that there have been 30 attacks or assaults on members of Congress who are Republican members of Congress just since May. 30 of them. And you wonder how much of that is being driven by this loose talk about assassinating America's president. You're listening to First Amendment Friday live on the Radio Northwest Network and the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you on First Amendment Friday live from our favorite gun store, Northwest Armory. And I'm glad to take your calls as well. Let's go to Devin, who's in Coos Bay, listening on KWRO. Hey, Devin, welcome to the program.
No way.
No way what?
You're talking to me?
I'm talking to you. Isn't your name Devin?
You actually taking my call. I'm an eight there,
or
right?
Or is it Devon?
Devin.
Okay, because I've talked to some Devons before.
Well, not
yes.
A man. Yeah.
Well, and there's no other Devon on the screen.
Anyway.
Unfortunately, we didn't have two Devons or Devons call in on the same day, but what's on your mind?
Well, I'm an naysayer.
Why?
And I'm glad you took my call.
All right.
Because I'm not indoctrinated as a leftist. And I'm 15 years old.
Okay. That's a good place to be.
You say that kids about my age are indoctrinated with leftist views, right?
Many of them are. Yes.
Well, I. Yeah, and
how,
I.
How did you avoid? How did you avoid indoctrination?
Don't study history. I'm homeschooled. I didn't study history when I was. I stopped studying history, so now I just got math, science, writing, and language arts. And reading comprehension, but I strictly avoid the history sections.
Okay.
Because those make the Democrats, basically, they stick to the success stories and make Republicans look like a load.
Although, think how much fun you could have had pushing back on your... You could have had a lot of fun pushing back on your history teacher when she told you about the amazing success of communism. You could have said, yeah, it really worked out well in the Soviet Union, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You could have done that?
Well, no. No. No, because I didn't have a history
but
teacher.
But why are you... I want to get to why you're a naysayer, Devin.
Because you keep on saying that the kids are all indoctrinated.
I don't say they're all indoctrinated. I think there was a caller earlier who had said a lot of the kids are indoctrinated. I think almost one of the trick questions you'll learn to identify is anytime someone says this is always true or this is never true, that's usually not a true statement. There are a few things like the sun always rises in the east until the sun goes nova. You know, that's always going to be true. And Democrats are always going to be a bit foolish. That's always going to be true. But there are very few things that are always true. Or all Republicans are conservative. That one's not true either.
No. As a matter of fact, I'm living proof of that. I'm not completely conservative.
What's your liberal side? I want to hear about your liberal side. What's the liberal side of Devin?
Okay. Well, for example, homeless people. Not all homeless people are those guys who just want to freeload all the time.
Well, can you tell me how you can live homeless in America without being a freeloader to some extent?
Well, have you ever heard of the guys who goes out in the backwoods because they don't
want to
put up with their
family? Hold on. If you're a conservative and you are a homeless person, but you are not freeloading, you're either occupying private land, which is not yours to occupy, so you're freeloading, or you're occupying the public spaces that are owned by all of us, and if you occupy them as a home, you lock them up for our use. In other words, if there's a public park, a public park and my family goes down for a picnic, we then pick up at the end of the picnic and we leave so that somebody else can come have a picnic or camp out. But if we occupy it as a home, then if you camp out for a period of time, you are forbidding the use of that public property to every other one of the users that owns it, aren't you?
Well, no, because I actually know somebody who, who is in Oregon, and he lives out in the woods, but...
Whose woods?
Lives out of
hold on. Whose woods?
Oregon, they're public woods.
Okay, so it is a piece of public property. So he's camping out on a piece of public property and treating it as though he owns it because he lives on it full time.
No, he moves. He's just like one of those, he's like a hiker.
Where does he get his food?
He hunts and he fishes and he gets...
Does he hunt with a permit? Does he hunt with a license and a permit?
Yes.
And he fishes with a license and a permit?
Well, sort of.
No, yeah, sort of. So in other words, somebody who is taking, he is taking more than he is allowed, so all of us can go out and buy a license and go fishing, but we're limited so that everyone gets a share of what everyone owns. We all own the fishery, and the state says, you can take two fish, you know, and this guy can take two fish, and your friend is out there probably without a permit and without a license taking more than his share. I call that a freeloader. Don't you?
So, well...
Wouldn't you call that freeloading? If I came to your house and you had a six-pack of Coca-Cola in the fridge, and I drank all six cans, but you bought it intending it for the family,
that would be
I'm taking more than my share, right?
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I get it.
So he's a freeloader. Can you tell me how you can be a homeless person living on somebody's land without freeloading?
Actually, I can't. But still,
okay.
He mainly sticks to his nuts and berries and whatever else he finds in the woods. And
does he have a fire to stay warm?
Yeah, bait. Sometimes.
Where does he get the wood?
He builds a fire when it gets cold.
And where does he get the wood?
All he does is build fire.
And where does he get the wood?
Off the ground.
Do you think that everybody in the state is allowed to go to any park they want to and gather any amount of firewood they want from the ground without asking or without some kind of permit so that everybody gets a share of what everybody owns?
No.
How would that work out if everybody went off to their state park and just said, I'm going to gather up a bunch of firewood and I'm going to take it home for my own use? If even a small fraction of the 11 or 12 million people that live in the Northwest went out and did that in Oregon, Washington parks, how long do you think they could do that before we stripped them bare?
Probably only a couple of months at most.
Yeah, well, you'd certainly cause shortages in some areas. That's my only point is that by the way, does this guy use the roads when he travels to go get his food? Because he's not paying for that. And I'm willing to bet that if he has a medical emergency, he may call 911 and be picked up by an ambulance, and he's not paying for that. And if somebody assaults him, he can call the police, and he's not paying for that.
No, he doesn't do any of those things.
No, he doesn't pay his share, so he's a freeloader. Can we agree?
Well, not on that point, because when he has a problem, he fixes it himself. If he's getting assaulted by a bear, he runs like hell.
I know, but if he gets assaulted by a human being and he calls the police will come and find the person try to find the person who assaulted him. All I'm saying is that if you act that way in a modern society, you become a freeloader because you're not paying in, but you are taking out. And at any time you're not paying in, but you are taking out, as far as I'm concerned, you are a former freeloader. We're live at Northwest Armory on the Radio Northwest Network, and it's First Amendment Friday right here on the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Pleasure to be with you on a beautiful Friday afternoon in the Pacific Northwest, live on the Radio Northwest Network and live today at Northwest Armory. I love talking to naysayers, though, and Gus is just such a naysayer. Gus, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Lars. I'm a never-Trumper, and I have been since he declared that he was running for president, saying that he was going to fix health care. He was going to balance the budget, and he was going to make America great again, and he was going to fix everything. And during his election, he went to war with with Paul Ryan and other leaders of the Republican Party. I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party either, but Donald Trump proved to me that he's a liar when he told CPAC that we had health care, which they were going to love, and he was going to introduce it within a couple of weeks. And he went along and he turned it over to the Republicans to deliver it, and they couldn't do it because they couldn't come up with a better idea during Obama's 8 years. And
Gus, can you take a breath here for a second? Let me ask you a couple of questions. You understand that Trump is doing this through our constitutional system. So when he said we're going to fix health care, he can be the leader to push toward fixing health care. But ultimately, fixing health care has to come with a change in the law. And unlike the previous president, Hussein Obama, he's not changing laws by a stroke of his pen. He's doing it the constitutional way. He didn't turn it over to the Republicans. The Constitution makes it the job of members of Congress to write laws. It is nobody else's job. The president doesn't have that authority. We have founders who believed in a weak president, a weak executive, and the Congress
He said it was fixed.
Who said it was
fixed? And it wasn't fixed. He was lying.
When did he say it was fixed? The bill hadn't even been introduced at the time you're talking about. CPAC?
He said that at CPAC.
He said that he was confident they would introduce a bill.
He said that health care was, we were going to have a wonderful health care system and that we were all going to love it.
Yeah, and how do you know until we haven't even seen the vote on the Senate side of this bill yet?
Well, you can't fix health care because health care is a market. And
well, it's not when the government's involved. That is not a market at all. If it's a market,
right.
It's a very controlled marketplace.
Now,
but you can get the
government.
Hold on. You
can
get.
Healthcare comes in two pieces.
Oh, go ahead.
Right now, there is employer provided health care, which people, you're complaining about.
Gus, hold on. If you want to split it up that way, health care comes in four or five pieces. You can go buy your own policy. You can go bare of any policy and just take responsibility for whatever happens and pay out of pocket. You can get health care from Medicaid or Medicare. Those are two government programs. Or you can get it through a group program. Those are five major divisions. You've missed three of them, apparently. And Gus, when you say you can't fix it, to the extent that the government is involved in both health insurance and the provision of health care, to fix it, you have to fix the laws that direct what the government does and what it doesn't do. Gus, I'm sorry to hear that you're a never-Trumper, but I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Pamela. Pamela, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Lars. I'm calling you today because there's an initiative here in Washington State called Initiative 1552.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people talking about it in such a way that doesn't put the point across.
Well, let's explain what 1552 is. It's the open bathroom rule. And does this, would 1552 have passed, make it a requirement that you go to the bathroom of your proper gender?
Correct.
Okay. And not your invented gender?
Yes.
Okay. And this initiative needs to have how many signatures to get it on the ballot?
330,000.
And where are we on that?
Last count that I heard, we were about halfway.
Okay. And how long do you have to finish that up?
July 1st is when they would like the petitions turned in.
July 1st? So we got to get from halfway to all the way in the next week?
Yes.
How is that going to happen?
Well, people that are listening are going to take and drive over to their local Walmarts in Washington, and they should be able to find petitioners gathering signatures there. I'll be going over today to one local here in Vancouver. It's on Fourth Plain.
Well, tell me this, because I appreciate your optimism. I wish I could share it because I know as petition efforts go in both Oregon and Washington, gathering 150 or 180,000 signatures in 7 days is a virtual impossibility. But is July 1st the hard deadline? They have to have them in by then? Or is that just the deadline they've chosen?
That's the deadline that Just Want Privacy Org has chosen so that they can clear the signatures. But
wow.
If people wanted to walk them in to their organization, that's allowable. I believe we have until the 7th, but I don't have a hard date on the actual date. I just know July 1st is what it's on the form that they've given us.
Well, I got to tell you something. I hate to rain on your parade, but the likelihood that they're going to gather 170 or 180,000 signatures in the next 7 days is relatively distant.
Well, I'm not giving up. I have, what happened to me in a public locker room needs to be shared.
What happened to me?
Well, I was taking my son to a public swimming pool here in Vancouver, and I had to go through the ladies' room because my son couldn't go through. And as I go in, I walk in, and there is a man standing in the shower with the curtain open, soaping up his body, and staring me straight in the eye. This shower.
Now, he was in the ladies' room.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes. So I looked at him and I said, whoa, I might be in the wrong room. So I turned around and walked out. I looked at the sign on the door. It said, ladies' locker room. I realized this person was exposing himself to me. So I went and took an immediate left to the counter where an employee was and explained to this employee that there is a man exposing himself to anyone who walks into the ladies' locker room and that they need to get him out. And this employee said, no. He has every right to be there. I said, no, you are not listening to me. This man is exposing himself to me, and it's not right. And she said, no, the rules have changed. That's the way it's going to be.
I couldn't agree with you more. And You know, that rule change came about because of a little-known committee appointed by Governor Inslee that acted before the federal government even did this, and they changed the rules for the whole state without a vote of the people, without a vote of the legislature, without anybody that you could actually hold accountable for it. They made that change, and I agree with you that I think it's wrong, but I guess I wish the organization had gotten in touch with me sooner so I could have helped help them push this signature gathering effort before it's down to the last week.
I wish that they had gotten a hold of you sooner. I had been told that we were in contact with you and trying to be able to speak with you, but obviously,
this may not help your group, but I've extended this offer to every politician and every signature gathering effort in both states. If somebody wants to get the word out about a petition, and Kevin Mannix forwards petitions all the time that he tries to get on the ballot, and he always comes on early so that we tell people where they can download petitions when that's legal to do, how they can get signatures, turn them back in, and all that. But you have to get started a lot earlier if you're trying to gather a third of a million signatures. And the fact that you're halfway with a week left to go before the deadline is kind of discouraging. But when people have an effort like that, by all means, get in touch with me. I'll put you on the air and I'll let you explain the cause and whether I agree with it or not. If I disagree with it, I'll say so. But I would be happy to tell people about these because I want voters to have the opportunity to sign these petitions and put them before the voters.
Perfect. Well, they can contact justwantprivacy.org, and they can make a donation right there. And that will go a long ways into making sure that we can continue gathering signatures until the very last minute.
And I'm sorry that you ran into that situation in the locker room. This is exactly the kind of problem that we've been trying to head off. Thank you for the call, Pamela. Back in just a moment, we're live at Northwest Armory, and you're listening to First Amendment Friday on the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to get your phone calls and emails. You know, I was making those comments at the beginning of this hour about Tom Kelly, the guy who heads Neil Kelly. You know, because here's a guy who heads up a private company that is begging to have the government raise a carbon tax to raise the cost of you heating your home. Now, I'm just going to suggest this to you, that if a private business that sells to the public says, we're going to go out and try to help them raise the cost of heating your home, how do you think a sensible customer should react to the idea that somebody that makes a lot of money doing remodels on people's homes and businesses is trying to jack up the cost of operating your home? I don't take it very kindly, Mr. Kelly. Well, Dave Lister writes in, Lars, these aren't typical businesses calling for this climate baloney. They're the same developers that fund the local elections and eat at the trough of public money. They're only doing this to keep themselves with the in crowd and keep the payola coming. Couldn't agree with you more. Let's go to a naysayer. Bill's on the line. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today, and where do you and I disagree?
Well, I disagree with your statements, you know, that all homeless people are freeloading.
Tell me one that's
not. I've been homeless for 2.5. No, you're talking to them.
All right, so how do you make your way? Where do you live?
I live in my car.
In your car. And where is the car parked? On a public street?
Sleeping?
On a public street paid for by me?
Well, you know, my car is licensed. And I also have insurance on it. You know, I've also paid for that street.
Well, you're required to have a license and insurance, so that's mm-hmm. not a big accomplishment that I'm going to congratulate you on, but you're living on a public street. The public street is for the use of everyone, not for you to make your home in. If everybody decided to live in the public streets, there wouldn't be public streets anymore, would there?
Well, you know, also, I sometimes will park at a rest stop, and I limit it to the 8 hours that they allow me.
And who do you think paid for the rest stop?
Drivers.
People who drive a lot pay for the rest stop. But, okay, we'll set that aside.
You know, okay, I pay gasoline taxes.
Have you ever called the police?
Nope.
Okay, but if you ever do, you'll get service, won't you?
Yes, I will.
Service that you did not pay to support, right?
Well, what do you define as paying to support?
I define property taxes, income taxes, and sales taxes, among others, as the way that we support the public services that you have access to, whether you use them or not. I mean, I haven't called the fire department in my entire life. I've called the police department maybe a 4 or 5 times in my life, but I have access to the service. It's like having AAA. I have a AAA membership. I don't call on AAA very often, but I pay for the service so that when I want want it, I have access to it, and I know it's there as a backstop. You get all those services, and you don't pay for them.
Well, actually, I do pay for them. I pay sales tax. I buy my food at Fred Farmers. I don't go to food banks. I don't go to, handout counters.
Good.
I buy my food.
That's
I buy
responsible.
My clothes. I buy
That's...
my gas. My car is licensed.
There you go.
I worked for 45 years.
Why don't you live in a home?
Because I cannot afford it. My Social Security does not pay me enough.
Oh, hold on. Social Security. So how long have you been collecting that?
1 year.
You don't sound like you're 60. Are you 65?
I am 62.
You're 62. So you started collecting Social Security. How many years? Now, you've lived on the street for 45 years. How much do you think you've paid into
Social Security? No, I did not say that. I lived on the street for 2.5 years.
Okay. So you've paid into Social Security most of your life.
For the other 40 years, I paid rent. I paid property taxes. I paid whatever I had to pay.
Good.
I've never freeloaded.
But now you don't want to have those expenses.
I can't afford them.
Because it's cheaper to live in your car and Social Security. Okay, I take the point. You may be one of the rare exceptions who actually is paying his way. Let's go to Charles in Moses Lake. Hey, Charles, thanks for listening on Kona. What's on your mind?
Well, I just, I was talking about the Yakima paying their taxes on the tribe. You know, it brings concern about their hunting rights as well, I'm a sports fan of Washington State, and I do my share. But it really discourages me to see them hide behind these treaties that they signed years ago and see them go out using high-power rifles and spotlights and get to do whatever basically they want, and they shoot these animals and they cut the heads off and take the back straps and leave it. And it just discourages me because they say that's their right.
I've heard the same kind of argument as well, and I can't disagree with you. Let's go to Eric in Ashland. Hey, Eric, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thanks. Having grown up in Berkeley, California, then moving to Ashland, Oregon, of all places, as a conservative.
Brave man.
thank you. And growing up in a communist family where my grandmother was a member of the Communist Party, and I, imagine little boys' Christmas when there's a bunch of guilt and words like, white men is a bad word and racist and this and that. I don't think anything's going to change on the left. Much like nothing's going to change in terms of Islamic terror, unless some elder statesmen, whether it be the imams of Islam, stick their neck out, no pun intended, and decry the violence and tell them they won't get their 72 virgins, yada, 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 or on the left to have an elder statesman or stateswoman, Obama, not some boob actor who's who are, as we know now, are some of the least educated, in a broad sense, people in the entire known universe, until they say that our party is not violent overthrow, is not Che Guevara. Well, it is right now. But until they say that's wrong, that's a misconception that we are violent, until they make that sea change, just like until the imams take that risk.
You're absolutely right, and it's very well put. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show, live from Northwest Armory.